Okay, we continue. Professor Eric Karlstrom is back tonight. We have spent a number of conversational topics on the idea that Crestone / Baca, B-A-C-A, in Colorado certainly was a world location for the globalist elite to implement their plans, Agenda 2020, there's a lot of things that goes back. Eric knows a lot about that. He's living in the area. And so welcome back, Professor. How many people are still living there who were involved at that level back in the day when Eric Strong was around? Are there people still there involved with this? Is it still going on? That's my question. Is it a locus of globalist technology, so to speak? What's the status?
Well, okay. Hi, Jeff. It's good to be with you again. And I do think this is an extremely important topic. I've been to the bottom of quite a few, or near the bottom of quite a few rabbit holes, I think, now, after retiring from 30 years teaching at university. I really got curious about, you know, what's behind these false flags and these all these lies that we've been told all our lives. And so I have these five websites, and one of them is 911nwo.com, which obviously started off looking at what really happened on 9/11. Another one is naturalclimatechange.org, and that's my actual field of study in physical geography. huge lie there. And another one is gang stalking mind control cults. I began to realize I was a targeted individual in 2013 after I had started this extended writing series that is on my 911nwo.com website, which is entitled "Is Crestone Baca, Colorado, the Vatican City of the New World Order? ?" An expose of the New World Religion. So if people want to, we've got a number of those posts. I've got 13 parts now and major parts, each one a small book size, and then about 253 appendices.
Yeah, you've done that's a PhD issue again right there, just that much work.
Absolutely, yeah, I've certainly done as much work on this or more than I did for my PhD, which is a lot. This is a gigantic topic, and it gets into the whole issue of who's behind world government, who's behind this push to erase our national borders, and how long does this plan go back to
erase our national image, our culture, our lifestyle? Yes. They're hard at work erasing all of it.
Yes, and I am not a coincidence theory advocate. I certainly. No. Now that I've plumbed the depths of these topics in this series, I certainly believe that this is a long-term plan. There are many, many, many avenues by which they have sought to take us down. And I did share with you one of the diagrams that was off my part one, is Crestone Baca, Colorado, the Vatican City of the New World Order. The part one was called the UN, Marie Strong, Crestone Baca, Colorado, and the New World Religion. And, now that stage is a little bit set. Let me get to your question here. There's about 2,000 people here. We still have, I think, about 32 spiritual groups of all. It's kind of a United Nations of religions still.
Really?
A lot of Buddhists.
32
Hindus.
Different spiritually identifiable groups in your area.
Yeah, this has to do with the Manitou Foundation, which is a nonprofit that is overseen by Marie Strong's wife, Hannah. She's from Denmark and a bit of a spiritualist. And it's still very much functioning as a kind of a new age spiritual community, an alternative a place where people look at alternative energy and alternative architecture and alternative gardening and everything. And it all sounds kind of wonderful and groovy, but as you know, we live in a world of cover stories in which there's often false fronts. And behind the false front, there's often a very, very different story. And this, I think, is what I've learned by researching this over time. There's something else going on here. And so I've put together this series. For instance, I have at the beginning of part one, a whole bunch of epigraph quotes or introductory quotes, one of which is by a local surveyor who said, based on his experience, over 80% of the homes in the Baca are owned by trusts. Newtown, Connecticut. Another one from a local resident. God told me
Owned by trusts.
Yeah, not owned by, we have safe houses and intelligence operations. We have safe communities, if you listen to Chip Tatum and things like that. And I think this has functioned I think we have many, many safe houses here because I think it is an intelligence operation. I think it's a mind control operation, among other things. And, of course, Maurice Strong himself was also a member of MI6, they say, and he was very big on function stacking, which is to say, multiple uses for their operations. So I think I now refer to Operation Crestone Baca, and I think mind control has a lot to do with it. Now, let me read you a quote by Alex Constantine in his 1997 book, Virtual Government, CIA Mind Control Operations in America, in which he says, and I think this kind of provides an intro to this whole thing, the CIA had chosen to move mind control experimentation from academic and military labs into the community. An inner circle of Hieronymus scientists experimented on cult devotees and sometimes collaborated in mass murder to silence the subjects, such as Jonestown, the People's Temple, Solar Temple, Symbionese Liberation Army, etc. There's a whole series of cults that the CIA has formed in order to continue their MK-Ultra-type mind control experiments. It was a marriage of convenience. Occult societies are secretive. They follow direction. They exist in corners of a society that ignores them. And then he goes on, the technology of biophysical information transfer is so advanced that it is often passed off as alien. In a lawsuit filed against the National Security Agency in 1992 in a District of Columbia federal courthouse, a private citizen, John St. Clair Acquay, described, who was an NSA employee, described the ultimate in electronic surveillance, remote neural monitoring. This device sends coded signals to the brain's auditory cortex, he claims, communicates directly with the brain, that's computer brain-computer interface, to debilitate subjects by stimulating auditory hallucinations characteristic of paranoid schizophrenia. Without contact with the subject, remote neuromonitoring can map out electrical activity from the visual cortex of a subject's brain on a video monitor. NSA operatives see what the surveillance subject's eyes are seeing. Perfect for those military guys. Visual memory can also be seen. Remote neuromonitoring can send images direct to the visual cortex, bypassing the eyes and optic nerves. NSA operatives can use this surreptitiously to put images into a surveillance subject's brain while in REM sleep for brain programming purposes. Okay, this is a 1992 lawsuit. I think John St. Clair Acquay is entirely correct in his, of course, it was thrown out of court by, I think his name was Sporkin, but he was a judge, advocate general tied to the Marine Corps. So we have a highly corrupt legal system which protects these kinds of MK Ultra type mind control operations. Now think about it, Jeff. You got 30 different or 32 different spiritual groups here. A lot of them serious, devoted Buddhists and Hindus and Christian contemplatives. Well, they're sitting still. You know, they're going for, you know, spiritual advancement. So actually, they're rather easy to study, aren't they? Because they're just sitting down and they can remotely access their brains. And And then if they get out of hand or if they don't cooperate, it's easy enough to turn them into targeted individuals, right? As they did with me. So I think we're dealing with a world of the cryptocracy ruled by secrecy, the intelligence agencies, the military intelligence establishment, going back to the Macy conferences and all the different top secret mind control operations that the CIA and the military have done since World War II. And most people are still not aware of the experimentation that happened under MK Ultra and Operation Bluebird and Artichoke and MK Offen and MK, you know, it was just so many of them. MK standing for mind control with, or that's one idea anyway. So this is my, I've gone ahead trying to figure out what's going on here because we have a highly controlled little community. By the way, I love Crestone Buckeye. Built my house here. I'm not going to move. I'm at the base of five beautiful 14,000 foot peaks. I love the mountains, and they'll have to chase me out. But in my last part 13 is called Mind Control, Human Research, and Cognitive Warfare (parentheses Targeted Individual Program) in the Vatican City of the New World Order, Crestone Buckeye, and then I put together this final hypothesis, and I use hypotheses. I use the scientific method throughout as best I can. And I say in parts 11 and 12 of this series, I put forth 333 hypotheses based mostly on what I've overheard locals say and whatnot and read to try to explain what in the world is going on in Crestone Buckeye, a community of 2,000 people in southern Colorado, where, by the way, there's lots of UFO and paranormal activity and cattle mutilations and New Age activity and every imaginable kind of thing to make the locals appear crazy. But in fact, I think a lot of people are victims of mind control, military mind control. In this final part 13, I would like to consider this final hypothesis, hypothesis 334. Operation Crestone Buckeye, Colorado involves the continuation of, this is my hypothesis, of top secret MK Ultra mind control experiments on our local residents, spiritual seekers, and retreatants within our local cults and spiritual communities. Meditators, contemplatives, and retreatants tend to isolate themselves in silence and hence provide ideal guinea pigs for covert brain mapping via 24/7 remote neural monitoring, manipulation, and, quote, harvesting of brainwaves. Monitoring and manipulation of information, thoughts, emotional states, dreams, moods, etc., sent to and received from these targeted individuals and groups via non-invasive neuroscience technologies affords neuroscientists and WINS, quote, warfare, intelligence, national security operatives, the opportunity to test and deploy cognitive warfare, CW, capabilities against unwitting American citizens. Okay, that's my 334th hypothesis to try to understand what in the world's going on here. And I think I make a pretty good case that that this is in fact what has been going on here, probably since the 80s when Maurice Strong came in here and started to we talked about this a little bit before. His wife oversees the Manitou Foundation, which grants land to all these spiritual groups. And I think that this was probably always in the cards as one of the functions of this project, in addition to religious syncretism, which is put all the religions together, like you would say in Masonry. And then the real world religion of the power elite, which is Luciferianism, Satanism, comes forth. And this is a very deep rabbit hole, and this gets into the Masonry and the Jewish Kabbalah and the Illuminati and all these things, which I actually do a lot of exploration of in parts 1, 2, and 3 of this series. I really go into looking at the power elite, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, as per that diagram that I shared with you, and then the secret societies, the synarchy ruled by secret societies, and the theurgy or the summoning of spirits that is involved throughout. So we're dealing with people who summon demons at the highest levels, and this then is the origin of quote unquote the plan, which all the New Age elite masters serve, and all the New Age followers must obey to without question, because it has these supernatural spiritual roots. Supernatural as in Satan. So the bottom of the rabbit hole, Jeff, is Satanism. And these people worship Satan. It's the deification
of humanity. Now, you're describing your neighborhood, so to speak.
Well, we do have a little Baptist church here, Jeff, that I go to. Mm-hmm. I'm not as hard on the Catholics as your previous guest. In fact, I came here because I had some friends in college that were as a Catholic Carmelite group of monks and nuns. It was a mixed community of spiritual life.
I've not heard that term before. Nuns.
Well, they're kind of unique, and they're wonderful people. And Father William McNamara was the founder and a very charismatic author and speaker. And I was friends with them since college. So when they had a big party up here, I came to visit and join them. And that's when I kind of got interested and fell in love with this area. But the Carmelite Catholics were the first of the groups to be invited here and given land. They're no longer really functional. They had a big blow up in 2003. But that's a long story, too. I mean, it is so interesting because Father William himself, although he's charismatic, and I had great, great admiration for him, he was a bit of a New Age Catholic. He was a big fan of Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, which is one of the kind of the New Age gurus, a Jesuit priest who, you know, actually behind the Piltdown scandal, where they tried to find this missing link between the apes and man and stuck a, you know, part of an ape with a human skeleton. And he was big into the nuosphere, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin.
Spell that.
N-O-O, sphere, S-P-H-E-R-E. And this is the mind, kind of the collective mind of man. Mm-hmm. Well, that fits right into the hive mind of neural nets, doesn't it?
Yes.
And the cybernetics freaks who want to merge man with machine. And not only that, but I went to this party that they had a celebration in 1985 for their moving their monastery here, their retreat center. And guess who was speaking? Well, it was Michael Murphy, who was co-founder of the Esalen Institute, which
I remember that name, a name out of the past. Boy, that's wild.
Well, the Esalen Institute. Yeah, it was founded by none other than Aldous Huxley, who was very big in the MK Ultra program. And it itself inherited a lot of the MK Ultra projects. So, you know, MK
Aldous
Ultra,
Huxley lived in the house next to mine before I got there a couple of years when I went to UC Santa Barbara. He lived on the beach next to my old beach shack. And he was there. He was there. Yep.
Wow. Well, okay, so there's a connection between kind of this New Age Catholic priest and MK Ultra. And I actually remember Michael Murphy, who was co-founder of Esalen, and his speech that he gave in about the mid-80s when they had their party, their celebration. And he was talking about the human potential movement, which is, again, part of MK Ultra, coming out of Stanford. And he was talking about maximizing human performance. And it all sounds pretty cool, but then you realize that, hey, this is the military is really interested in maximizing human performance, aren't they? With enhanced humans, you know, with with all these experiments, you know. So a lot of the funding for these mind control projects is coming from the military, the private sector, and it's being carried out at universities. In 1975 or 6, the Church Committee hearings, the Frank Church Senate Commission mm-hmm. here looked into some,
yeah.
some a tiny portion of the MK Ultra atrocities, and said, "Don't do that anymore." And they said, "Oh, we won't." But of course, then what happened is they moved these mind control experiments underground, as per the quote I read by Alex Constantine. And so they moved it into the community. They moved it into the cults. They moved it into cults that they...
Alex's time, he was on this program. I can't remember when, but that's you're going back 20-plus years, more than that.
Yeah, 97. Yeah.
Yeah, almost 30. Yeah, all right.
Well, this is technology from the 60s. Now let me read a quote from Dr. Robert Duncan, ex-CIA neuroscientist and author of Project Soul Catcher, Secrets of Cyber and Cybernetic Warfare Revealed in 2010. He says, "The most profound crime a government can do to an individual is peer into their minds without consent." Of course, that violates the Nuremberg Code, which we signed. The intelligence agencies have become a virus, a cancer on all of humanity. We have been trying to concentrate evil as humans understand it to create a weaponry that attacks the information systems of the brain and body. And this is true since the 40s. Michael Wynn of the Air Force said, "We have to use it, this neuroweapon system, on our own citizens before we will use it on the battlefield." That's the way they think. He got fired for that comment. Every time the military gets a bigger budget, like after 9/11, you have more targeted individuals, non-consensual experimentees come online, and they all have the same date when they came online. So what I gather from listening to Robert Duncan, there have been a number of time horizons when the number of non-consensual human experimentees has ramped up. And this goes back to the 40s and 50s with MK Ultra and Operation Chatter and Bluebird and Artichoke. That was the Manhattan Project of the Mind, $1 billion a year back in those days, which was top secret.
And then it
ramped up again in the late 50s. It ramped up in 1976 with the coincident with the signal, the Moscow woodpecker signal. And then it, of course, ramped up again in 9/11. It ramped up again in 2013 with Obama's Brain Initiative, which is just another repackaging. So the military and the intelligence agencies have put extraordinary amount of DARPA, et cetera, of energy and money into mind control of the population. Now, obviously, this has implications for enslaving the human race. And that's what we should all be very, very, very concerned with and try to get on top of this a little bit, because for these guys, right makes right. And I have a little piece of moderately good news. There is a neuro rights bill that was just signed in Colorado.
At what level? What level? State level?
Yeah, state level. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, your brain waves are actually for sale. And we have
like
now
fingerprints.
They get traded back and forth between all kinds of businesses and corporations and academic institutions for analysis. And to make that point clear and to kind of solidify the proof or the suggestion that my hypothesis 334 is correct, the old facilities of the Carmelite Catholics is now owned and run by a Buddhist group called the Center for Contemplative Research, CCR. And they claim that the professional contemplatives give the best brain data. So they are doing the same thing now, kind of in a more open way. I think they've been doing this covertly for decades here. And it's the humans as guinea pigs. We're dealing with human research, covert human research by the government and their partners and the military and the intelligence agencies in particular. And I think these are crimes against humanity of the very highest order. And I think, you know, we're all disappointed that there's no justice in this country. I mean, Kennedy was killed. Nobody who was involved, who was directly involved, was punished. You know, 9/11, same thing. You know, Oklahoma City, same thing. All these crimes.
Same thing. Always the same. Always. No.
Yeah.
No one's held accountable. Just like this world global genocide with the death vax, no one will
right.
be held accountable. And yet, in my view, everyone who is involved with either giving the shots knowingly or ordered to give them, and the people giving the orders are all equally culpable. They're part of the problem. They're accessories to mass murder, at the least.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, and this is why we need to keep rattling the facts in front of people. And I believe still, Jeff, that the targeted individual program, which I've alluded to, is almost at that same level of a heinous crime. And again, just like you said, I believe all those involved should be brought to account. You can't say, well, you know, it was like the Masons, we'll spread the blood around so, you know, there's so many of us that are committing the crime that, you know, it's impractical for us to be jailed because we have, you know, we almost outnumber the victims, you know, criminals outnumbering the victims. But I think that's almost right. where we're at, and we need to keep putting this forward, putting the facts out, putting the data out. You know, whether or not we succeed, it's a responsibility to call out these crimes against humanity. I think the shot, the jab, and the targeted individual project are commensurate in their criminality and in their evil intent. Yeah. So I'll shut up and let you.
Yeah. I concur. I concur with everything you've said. You're right on the money. The culpability of people, either through ignorance or compliance, it's kind of like splitting hairs. They're culpable of misusing, abusing, and ultimately killing their fellow man and woman and child. And these doctors who are basically forcing people to take these shots. And by the way, in many hospitals, they just give the shot routinely and tell the patient on their way out the door, by the way, we did give you unless you check your chart early, you've got to have an advocate when you go into a hospital. You have to have an advocate. And you can't necessarily do it on your own because if you lose consciousness, they'll do whatever they damn well please. And try to remember that about two and a half years ago now, there was a big watershed where all professional healthcare employees in this country were given a mandate to get the shots. And one-third of them said, go to hell, and they walked. They quit their jobs and left. So you had two-thirds of the original healthcare baseline running the whole healthcare industry, and they were all vaxxed. So what's their agenda? And what is their health? Anyway, go ahead, Eric.
That's a very, very interesting statistic, because that's about the statistic of the Stanley Milgram experiments that came out of MKUltra in the 1960s at Yale. The obedience to authority, about 66%, two-thirds of humans, will kill other humans.
On order.
On order.
Where was it? Stanford? I can't remember where. They took a grad student and wired him up and put him at a desk, and there was someone on the other side of a glass wall that he could see who was wired to electrodes, and he was ordered to give ever-increasing doses of voltage to that person, that other student behind the glass wall. And the guy was screaming and yelling, and they ordered him, keep doing it. And he said, no, I can't, I'll kill him. And they had told him what the kill level would be in terms of the dial, the meter. And he did. Some phenomenal number of students administered a deadly dose of electricity to this setup. It was a game, basically, behind the glass wall. It was like two-thirds, on orders, killed somebody.
Right.
You remember the whole thing.
Yeah, I have to interject. That is the Milgram experiment, and that was
a deal. Very good, very good, very good.
And I did write a very, very rather long and thorough article called "Mind Control: History and Applications," and of course that's included as very important, because tyrants love that. You know, if they can fool, and this is a very unethical experiment, if they can fool two-thirds of the population. Or coerce them or trick them or whatever, they're home free, you know. But anyway, I wanted to get back to where we ended last time, because this was, to reinforce the idea that this is a long-term plan. This is not just a bunch of dummies, you know, messing up. This is a focused plan by a group of people that are very focused on ruling the world and depopulating the rest of us. And this is why I think it's so important for the rest of us to come to grips with the bottom of these rabbit holes. So again, going back to what this Christian businessman in Colorado named George W. Hunt, George Washington Hunt, he said, this is off of his website and some of his videos on the BigBadBank.com website. In 1987, I attended the Fourth World. I talked about this, but I think it's worth bringing up because we can talk about it a little more now. Sure. I attended the Fourth World Wilderness Congress. Marie Strong of Crestone, Colorado, the Canadian who dropped out of school at the age of 14, but good friend of the Rockefellers. Marie Strong and Mr. Environment, who invented climate change and Agenda 21 and all kinds of things, supposedly. Marie Strong, the convener, said it was called the Fourth World because it was the fourth one of these environmental congresses that Edmund de Rothschild had created. I learned later that the world order refers to the coming one world government. That means no more United States, no more borders, as the Fourth World, or world controlled by the world order, where there is no more first, second, or third worlds. Okay, first world, of course, after World War II, the free countries, supposedly, second world, the communist countries, third world, the developing countries. No more different countries, just a boundaryless planet, which is called the Fourth World Wilderness. Okay, now they've taken this political goal, uh-huh, one world government, and merged it with the New Age and the environmental movement and spiritualism. So now the next, then he goes on, yogis and shamans refer to it as the Fourth World Wilderness, the lostness of the mind. Now we're getting into the hive mind, the Pentagon cloud, neural nets. The lostness of the mind refers to the collective consciousness. Persons will be coerced through lies, drugs, fear, and pain to surrender themselves, their egos, to the collective consciousness. Now, these are Satanists that are behind
this, yes,
but they
found
very clever ways to kind of push their agenda. And then he says the Fourth World will be a return to a society much like the Caesars or Babylon or the Fourth Reich within the fictionalized societies described in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World and Brave New World Revisited and Orwell's classic 1984. Yeah, so they want to create a new society out of the ashes of chaos, which they are now, of course, orchestrating, a collectivist fourth world complete with a collectivist religion, which will turn out to be Satanism, collectivist finance, which will, of course, be the central bank digital currency or whatever after that, and unchecked world national socialism, fascism. The world order will offer Gaia, the Mother Earth goddess, to the masses as the big brother image to worship in the fourth world. Okay, the new world religion, pagan, it's naturalist, it's ultimately the worship of self and Lucifer.
Absolutely. Correct.
It is the Masonic religion. It is the Jewish religion, because ultimately the Judaism is the worship of Moloch or Satan or Lucifer, or as guy Rosenthal, Harold Rosenthal, said in a 1996 interview, most Jews don't like to admit it, but the God we worship is Lucifer. He is very much alive.
Rosenthal, those are important statements. If you want to look at some other important statements made by a Jew, very articulate, Benjamin Friedman, anyway, in the 50s, made a lot of really good speeches about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, see, this is Harold Rosenthal, aide to Jacob Javits, the senator.
Right.
Both of whom are Jewish. And he said, most Jews don't like to admit it, but the God we worship is Lucifer. He is very much alive, and we are his chosen people. If we go to that, if people want to go to my part two, or if they want to just go and look at the The diagram I sent you, which you have on your little slideshow there, which I always enjoy looking at, it's kind of a diagram showing the structure of the conspiracy to rule the world.
Yeah.
And you kindly put that on there. And
that's a good one.
You'll notice there it's very much ruled by the Anglo-American Alliance, Britain and the United States. And at the top is the Order of the Illuminati. Bavarian Illuminati comes out of Germany, however. The House of Rothschild, of course, is international, but located a lot in the city of London. And they are the King of the Jews and have been since the late 1700s. And then we get into all the arrows. If people want to kind of click on that diagram, the conspiracy to rule the world, it's probably interesting enough to take a look at some of the characteristics: Council on Foreign Relations, United Nations, Communist Party, USA, House of Rockefeller is junior to the House of Rothschild, but both are Jewish, and the Council of 13. And this is a very interesting diagram. I got this at the 2007 9/11 conference. I think it was in Gilbert or Chandler, Arizona, near Phoenix, and shows how these of course, CIA is in there coming, doing the bidding of the Council on Foreign Relations, you know, which answers, again, to all these globalist bodies. It never really has worked for the United States of America people. Likewise, the other intelligence agencies working for this very, very complex network of organizations. And it's, of course, quite infinite. But what's not said on this diagram, the Order of Illuminati is a Jewish secret society, very powerful Jewish secret society. And if you go down below the Council of 13, you'll see the Kahillah. What's a Kahillah? Well, the Kahillah of the Kahal is a method, I guess, by which influential Jews set up kind of a pyramid structure. Each one would have a couple underlings who they supervise, and then each of those underlings will have another couple that they supervise, and each one of those, so eventually you have this gigantic pyramid all doing the bidding of one person or one entity, and that these individuals then would fill the positions in all of these different boxes. So this is not shown on the diagram, and I mentioned that because Masons and Jews and Satanists are the driving force behind this conspiracy to rule the world. And it is a multi-thousand-year-old plan, as I gather. I think they're very close to their fruition.
I don't see how else it could be looked at. You're right. I really don't. They're very close. I'd say they're virtually through the door now. Who's going to stop it? How? I just don't see it.
Going back to the Catholic thing, I have very fond memories of my Catholic friends, so I would not, I have no use, of course, for the gay, everybody goes to heaven, global warming Pope, who is a Jesuit.
He's a fraud. Bergoglio's a fraud. He's a fraud.
He's a Jew. He's homosexual. He's a fraud. But I think the Catholic Church has a rich theological history. I do think that they do worship Jesus Christ. I think ultimately that's our choice. We worship the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or we worship
Satan. The big plan now is to steer away from that 180 and begin to worship Gaia and nature.
Yes,
it's going
to
become a nature dogma that the church pushes.
Absolutely. And of course, I taught human ecology at university for 20 years, and that was part of the propaganda, social engineering of the entire culture to get students, you know, to believe that we're just another one of the biological species on the planet, and all species, you know, they have their population booms and their population crashes. No one is better than the other, and so it negates the spiritual importance of human beings, or the idea that humans are made in the image of God. And this is all very, very cleverly, planned out. This happened about 1990. just in time for the Rio Earth Summit, which was 1992, headed up by Marie Strong. So we're dealing with these very, very powerful globalist bankers and think tanks and secret societies and elite families, etc., of the Illuminati, and their long-term plan for world conquest, depopulation, enslavement, and that's why what we're doing is so important, I think, Jeff. You know,
I agree. This information that you'll hear it nowhere else to speak of, very little exposure. It's critically important. Go ahead. This is good.
Yeah, I'm starting to hear other people now talk about some MK Ultra and mind control hive minds and whatnot. But I wasn't hearing too many people talk about it when we started talking about it. So that makes me feel like, you know, what we're doing is important.
It is exactly what you think. The word is getting out there. You sowed the seeds for it, and it's beginning to slowly sprout. And it is getting passed around. This is for you. You did this. So good job.
Well, thank you. You know, I really can't claim that much because I did so much literature review, you know, for this. You could say that this series is compiled more than it is written. You know, it's equal quantities of each. And I did have to consult, of course, with people like Alex Constantine and Jim Keith and a host of others. So basically I was doing a literature review, but I would see my role and yours as well as getting the idea disseminated, getting the words out there so that others pick up on it. We're not a nation of idiots. There are a lot of smart people out there. Of course, that two-thirds is pretty far gone, but the one-third that is in the game, there's some smart folks out there, and if we can just keep making progress, that's all we really can do is move.
Well, we have to. Yeah, it's like a ratchet. You have to ratchet it up slowly. Click, 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 and you make a little progress. Click, click, click. Forward only. Click, click. Keep moving.
Exactly. And I guess one of my main points here in this series is that I learned, it's so easy to be fooled. These people are very, very...
Oh, my. Oh, they're masters.
There's so many good-hearted people that join the New Age movement, for instance.
I know.
To love and light, you know.
It's true. It's true.
And you know, this... And Scientology, for instance, is a major cult, but a lot of smart, good people are sucked into that, and it's definitely an intelligence cult of the British and American, you know, intelligence. And, you know, you have a hard time getting out. In fact, if you do escape, they'll gang stalk you. Yeah.
Yes, they will. Or worse. Yeah.
So here's what a Jewish writer named Hannah Newman wrote about the rainbow swastika, about the New Age movement. She said, all those who subscribe to the New Age must submit to, quote, the plan in its entirety or be left out of the New World Order. It should be noted that this plan is universally accepted among New Agers as literally having a superhuman origin. Alice Bailey, who, of course, like Helen Blavatsky, is one of the major...
Madame Blavatsky. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The secret doctrine, etc. Alice Bailey is not the author, only the transcriber. She's getting this information, quote-unquote, channeled to her
channeled.
By...
Alice Bailey.
Yeah, the Tibetan.
I first heard these things probably when you did, when I was in college.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Theosophy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, likewise, no leader today at any level takes credit for formulating the plan. From the UN on down, which is very much into the plan, every, quote, world server has his, her assigned task, but no one has the authority to change or cancel any segment. To do so would be to reject the hierarchy and jeopardize the coming New Age itself. Three important results of this belief are: the plan is non-negotiable. Two, New Agers do not doubt its wisdom. So they're all just puppets, you see. No one feels personally responsible for the consequences of carrying it out. Perfect. Now we can depopulate 3/4 of the world's population and feel good about ourselves, you see.
Yeah.
This is very, very diabolically clever. And sucked a lot of good people
it's
in.
True.
This is what you see here in Crestone, Colorado, is really a petri dish of cults like this, people who believe in the Arcturians and the Pleiadians, and well, that's your truth, that's your truth, or there is no truth. It's this confusion of gods and goddesses. They might even say Jesus is one of them, but never say he's. Ultimately, this group hates Christians, Christ, and the Christian Church more than anything. So the goal is to destroy that, and of course depopulate the earth and enslave the rest as cyborgs for themselves. So we're dealing with a religion of racial supremacy. Of course, the Jews believe that they are gods and that we are beasts.
Have you seen, Eric, have you seen the videos of classrooms of elementary school students in Israel, how they teach these little children, they brainwash them, that they are superior to every other race on the planet, and that they are a race, and they are the chosen, and teaching them to hate? This is true. These are 8 and 10-year-old kids, thoroughly indoctrinated, and they'll grow up to carry this hate with them, and this arrogance, and the condescension, all of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have seen those kinds of things, and I've read so much that supports that. One book that is very good to read on this topic is The Controversy of Zion by Douglas Reed, who is a British reporter in World War II. That came out in 56 or 76, I believe. And another excellent source would be the modern professor, he's California State University like me. What's his name? He wrote The Culture of Critique. Kevin MacDonald has.
Oh, yeah. Kevin's been on the program. I think he's at Long Beach.
Yeah. He comes out of sociology. His topic was the sociology of groups, and he chose as a group Jews, and wrote the three book series, which are quite excellent. But what we see, of course, is that this plan is masked behind all this BS, you know, and of course the New Age is part of that, because that, you know, that refers back to Helen Blavatsky and Theosophy, but that refers back to the Jewish Kabbalah, black magic, and all this. So when you start digging down this rabbit hole, it comes back down to this black magic system of racial supremacy, belief in Satan. Here's another thing that this Jewish lady wrote, Hannah Newman. The specific stages of the plan were transmitted in detail through Bailey directly from Dwell Kul, the Tibetan master, beginning in the 1930s. That'd be channeling a demon spirit, I guess. But much of it was shared only with inner circle disciples until 1975, when the New Age leaders received instructions to go public. Remember what happened back, I think, in 78, when they had the this big world event for the New Age? I don't know if you remember that, but it was all over the country.
The one in South America?
This is in North America. The name escapes me, but they had a day. They had kind of a New Age day designated.
Oh, I sort of remember. If you can come up with a name, I'm sure it'll ring a bell.
Yeah, I think it was 87. But he said most of the agenda can be found in Alice Bailey's book, Externalization of the Hierarchy. Key New Age disciples have released additional how-to books, such as H.G. Wells' The Open Conspiracy and Barbara Marx Hubbard's The Manual for Co-Creators of the Quantum Leap. So they mask all this stuff. But the bottom line is, and they talk about the selected portion of mankind will be selected to go to the next evolutionary level, that is to live, whereas the rest will, you know, be selected not to live. And they're going to select only star seed people designated to make the quantum leap into the next level of human transformation. But even these need careful preparation by more advanced spirits, lest they burn out in the transition. All this hocus pocus stuff. But basically, David Spangler, who's a world planetary citizen, said to enter the New Age, one must accept a Luciferian initiation.
Ah, mm-hmm.
to enter the New World Order, everyone will have to have a Luciferic initiation. These guys are serious, and they're seriously nuts. If you want to live in that world, I don't.
They are. They really. Oh, the planet's got so many of them. But you're right. This whole church thing is, the Catholic Church thing is very interesting to watch happen. It is being reformatted to the best of my ability to understand it. It's pretty intense. Pretty intense. Thank you, Eric. Great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon. Keep up the good work. And this has been a very valuable and insightful series. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jeff. You have a great one. And hang in there, friend.
Thank you. You too. Be safe. All righty. Professor Eric Carlstrom, emeritus, and quite a thinker. Okay, back with you tomorrow, Friday night again. Wow. Talk tomorrow. Be careful out there. Stay safe.